Good morning, Grace Christian Fellowship Church. It's picnic time, isn't it? So it's wonderful to see the sun out this morning. So we'll have to continue prayer that God will shine his light upon us. I do want to say this. You guys are angels. Just to hear you sing, just such a beautiful sound. I don't have a voice, but boy, I can listen well. I just want to tell you, just to listen to all of you sing, we do need a choir. You all know that. That's a hint. Well, welcome to Village Missions Day. Village Missions is fixed on keeping country churches alive. There's many churches that are failing out there, country churches, with no pastor. And through Village Missions, those churches that can't afford pastors can now have one, can have the spiritual guidance necessary. It's great to introduce to you John and Gloria James. Some of you may have met them before I did. I don't know. But they've been a blessing to Ginger and I. John's the one I talk to when I'm not quite sure what I'm doing. And most of the time, that's the case. So I call him when I can. But he has a heart after God, and he's been in Village Missions for, 37 years? 36, okay. So with that, it's my great pleasure to ask John to come up here and kind of give us an overview of what's happening with Village Missions and its current status.
All right, thank you, Pastor. And it is a joy. One of the enjoyable things we get to do in the work that presently that God has assigned us to is to come and meet with folks just like you across the upper Midwest, a little bit into Pennsylvania, and meet whenever we can on a Sunday morning. And we shared with your pastor a little bit talking about coming this Sunday, and he wanted to make it an emphasis on Village Missions. Often the presentation you'll be getting this morning, and as you see there at the bottom of it, it says Village Missions Update. But for most of you, in fact, I think probably all of you, you haven't been dated yet in order to be updated. So I'm going to have to touch on a little bit of that as I move along through. But you are now, since Merle and Ginger have been coming here and working and serving with you, a part of the family of Village Missions. And we hope you understand that it is a family arrangement, that Village Missions works in several different opportunities. And I'll be showing you some four, actually, from my district at the very end of this, or near the end of our presentation this morning, places so you can pray for them. And as you get a little further along, we have available through Village Missions weekly prayer requests for a sister Village Missionary Church and Village Missionary family. And if you so desire, you can have those and pray for them every week. We encourage you to do that so that you can be a part, because you're being prayed for on a regular basis as well. That's a part of our family relationship. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital churches in rural North America. That's really what it's all about and has been for about 60 years. And as long as I'm mentioning 60 years, if you do not receive it and would like to receive Country Matters, it's a quarterly publication that would keep you updated on what's happening in Village Missions. There's a sign-up sheet on your table as you leave out there, and just put your name and address, and please print it clearly so that we don't have any trouble figuring out who you are. I know I have trouble reading my own writing, so if you would do that, please, and we'll see that you get that. But I bring you greetings from the... Oh, I start with the picture. I always, in the fall, my presentations when I come and visit, whether it's just the board or the congregation or a Sunday school class or whatever opportunity I have, to begin with a picture of one of the places in our district. And being our 60th year, at our conference this year, Village Missions put together a DVD, just presentation for the benefit of the missionaries, a little story of each of the fields in the district that's been with the mission the longest. And Fond du Lac, Minnesota, is just south of Duluth, just off the kind of off the tip of Lake Superior. This church has been with Village Missions continuously for 50 years. And God has blessed that work in several different ways, and I'll mention them as we move on a little bit further through the process. I always bring greetings from the leadership of Village Missions. And in this case, this is actually the entire leadership, as it were. Up in the upper right corner, you see a fellow and his wife in the back there by that exit sign. That's our director, Brian Wexler, and his wife, Carol. And they always send their greetings along with us, and they wish they could be with you on a regular basis. And then our assistant director and wife are in the other corner, the front on the left side, Mike and Judy Jones. And Mike is the one who oversees all field ministries. That's his responsibility within the mission, the churches and the missionaries that work with us. And all of the others pretty much are folks just like Gloria and myself, district representatives in both the U.S. and Canada. We were together last fall for a meeting and got a picture taken. But on behalf of all of those, on behalf of all of the sister churches and village missions, we greet you and we thank you for becoming a part of us. I want to begin with just a few verses from God's Word. In 2 Peter 1, 1 through 9, a pretty familiar passage, and you can listen as I go along, look if you care to. Want to not take up as many more than necessary here and keep you from your picnic. We're looking forward to sharing food with you along the way. But from God's Word, some very important thoughts, and it's one of those that, being a preacher, it's hard not to just break into a message here concerning all this, but we'll keep it real short. Beginning in the first verse, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Whole lot of things in this passage, and it's a little longer than I usually read for a brief thought. But the first thing we need to realize is that every believer should have and exhibit God's grace and peace. Passage is very clear on that in those first verses. It's talking to believers, to those who have received the same faith as ours, the author is writing here. And it's also saying, grace and peace be yours in abundance. That's what God has provided for us. It's all there, and that's what He wants in every single one of our lives. And that grace and peace can be there no matter what the circumstances of our lives. In fact, God and our Savior has fully provided all we need to have that grace and peace. It says so very clearly in the verse, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He has given it all. So we have no excuse, which is very clearly borne out in the last part of this passage that I read. Growing in Christ is up to us. God has done all that He needs to do. He's made it possible. He's provided everything we need. But it's our responsibility to keep on obtaining it. Keep on reaching out for it. That's why it says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, goodness, knowledge. And it goes down through that list of all those things that the Lord wants in our lives. So He puts it to us. It's all there. You can enjoy every blessing of mine and the grace and the peace, but you need to work hard to obtain it. Keep on doing that. And as I said about the purpose of village missions, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital churches, that's what this is all about. Helping people to grow in Christ, to want to feed themselves, to want to be involved in the body of Christ, to want to all the different things so that they can have God's grace and God's peace. And that's the prayer we should have for one another. as we minister together, as we share as a family of churches, as you down the road begin to pray for the other works in the other fields, as they pray for you, we have a partnership in the gospel that is a blessing and will be a blessing from now until the Lord takes us home. I want to thank you for praying for Village Missions, and I don't know what level of prayer you have. We do have a small form I'll leave with your pastor with several general prayer requests for Village Missions. He gets them from our office on occasion and other things. But I'll be covering most of those areas of prayer this morning. And as I say, this is an update for those who I've been speaking to on every 6 months on a regular basis. So for you, thank you for praying, whatever level God has laid on your heart, and we'll pray that you increase even your prayers for Village Missions. Your prayers for new missionaries were and are being answered, and I know you prayed for that because you've been praying for leadership here and for God to provide the right folks to come. And God has done exactly that. Last fall, we had 9 couples in our candidate school. And for the churches I visited in the spring, I was able to tell them we had 9, but now we have pictures of them. And so you'll see the ones. Even Merle and Ginger are in here, so we'll show them in just a moment. But these are the folks that were prayed for. And as you were praying for the right one, God had the right one among this group of folks. Ashley and Janet Anderson are serving out in Fremont, California. David and Nancy North says associate missionaries. And if you're not aware, we have retired folks who come to serve with us who are capable of serving a church, and they hold places in between full-time leadership. And David and Nancy have already served one in southeast Kansas, McEwen, Kansas, and are available when the Lord opens another opportunity. Hans and Ellie Timmermans are now serving in Marysville, British Columbia. Jim and Pam Eaches are now out in Hayfork, California. This one you know where they are and who they are. And we're just praising God with you for the ways that He puts the right people in the right places. Another that we have in our district, Paul and Denise Duvall, are serving down in Glen Dorado, Minnesota. That's down south central part of the state of Minnesota. In this particular church, you know what it's like to pray for leadership. This church is new to Village Missions, as you are, and they needed a parsonage, as you did. But in their area, there weren't too many available. I understand you have a little easier opportunity here, and you found a beautiful home. Thank you for what you've provided for your missionary. But this church was praying not only for a pastor, but for the right house, because they thought they might have to go up to 10 or 12 miles into a town. And I got a call from the chairman one day in September. Said, "We found a house 2 miles from the church. Do we rent it?" And meaning, do we have somebody to put in it? And I said, I just don't know what God has in store. At that point, we couldn't promise anything. They rented that home, praying that God would supply their pastor, and paid the rent, paid the heat all through last winter. In April, Paul and Denise moved in and are doing a great job ministering there. Thank you for praying. Paul and Lauren McElroy, serving out in Blodgett, Oregon. TJ and Melody Telfer, doing a one-year internship in Garrington, Alberta. And that one-year internship is for younger folks who may just feel they need a little extra training beyond their Bible school and education. So we're able to place them under a senior village missionary for on-the-job training for a year. And they're almost through with that year and will very soon be out on their field. And then the last of the 9, Travis and Melissa Langford, may be assigned by now, I haven't heard. But they just got all their ducks in a row and got their house rented and the things that were needed for them to go. And will very soon, if they're not already, be on a field. Those are folks that you pray for. You prayed along for your leadership. God knew which one would be coming here. The prayer is going on, though, and we have another candidate school coming up in October. And actually, we're up to almost 16 now. There's a possibility of 16 instead of 10. So keep praying for that. We're interviewing a couple, in fact, tomorrow as we go across Wisconsin. Another possibility there. And keep praying, please, for more missionaries for Village Missions. We presently have, and I just got the number from the office, it's now 21 instead of 19, places in the States waiting for leadership, and Canada has 5. We need people, and we need them for that reason. We want to keep accepting new places. Regularly, we have churches just like you folks, or churches that are dwindling that need help, churches that just can't afford all the different reasons, asking for leadership. Not everyone we can help, but the ones that we can, we want to keep on doing that, but we need people. We have a number of our missionaries now eligible or soon to retire. And that's just been an ongoing thing for several years. You know how people get older and that those things take place. So we need to keep replacing them. So please keep praying for us in Village Missions concerning more missionaries. Other areas of ongoing prayer needs include a financial shortfall. And you may be aware of that. This past year, we've gone through a little bit of a dip in our finances. You know how that works in your budget. When the income doesn't quite reach the outflow, there's a negative situation, and we've had that just a little bit. We've had that over the years. God provides, and sometimes it bounces a little bit. But pray for wisdom in that as we seek new sources of income as God provides in those areas. But one thing that's been affected by our financial dip this past year is our annual staff conference. And you know your pastor and wife took off for a week in New York to a conference. I want to share just a little about those conferences. In fact, I'm going to show you a few pictures of them so you can get an idea of what our pastors are going to be missing. We have had over the years in Village Missions, this is our 60th year, as I said, has had these conferences almost the whole time. And we very often have people who come to those conferences so low you can slip under the doors. We all know how that goes sometimes, discouraged, ready to just chuck it and go get a job where they don't have to deal with people. Believe it or not, pastors get that way sometimes. And we've had that happen where people have come to conference ready to say, I'm leaving, only to be touched by God and go back to their field of service, eager to serve Him and see what God will do. These conferences sometimes change lives. They're very, very important. And not having them is a concern, and it's a prayer request on our part that God can reestablish them soon as the finances come back into proper balance. So pray with us along that line. But just so you're aware, just a few pictures, and I'll zip through them. Actually, these are from two different conferences. The one that your pastor went to will be the first, and all I have there for photos are the buildings. Then we move to the Colorado conference. My district is split, and people go both ways, and there we have people. So in your minds, put the two together, and you'll see how the week of conference goes. Word of Life Inn is where we spent our time in New York, Scroon Lake up in northeast New York, a beautiful setting there. This is looking back down the hill toward that sign. First building is our main lodging facility. And to the extreme left there, you can see just a tip of the chapel building. But all of our rooms are in this facility. This is one of the rooms, one of the updated ones, so we don't suffer too bad while we're there at conference. This is the general lobby area where we just have fellowship. It's one of the very important areas of that conference center where we can just get together and talk. And right next to it is a more informal setting out there by the pool that... Is that humming? Okay, you said to step back. Wanted to make it work right. By the pool area, just another informal area where a snack bar is, where we have fellowship and different things, our swimming pool. This is the chapel building, and it's one of those that you step in the door and you go right down the hill. It's a real steep, sloping floor in that context. So just the place where we meet. This is the original lodge there at the facility that now houses the dining room, kitchens, registration area, and their offices. A couple pictures of the grounds there so that you can just see that. And I wish we'd have had the meetings on this one, but you'll see that now coming up as we move halfway across the country. Just out of Estes Park, Colorado, is a YMCA facility that we've used for a number of years. And we're kind of the small group out there in Colorado. We were 200 of 1,600 who were on the grounds. So a little different setting there, but same thing. This is one of your nearest Village Missions neighbors. This is Pastor Skip and Vanita Pullen, who are down at Waters Meet, just a couple hours from you here. But they're just sitting there. The first thing we do when we get to conference, after we get settled into our rooms, is eat. You know, that's one of those critical things. And they're sitting just outside of the dining hall in this location, enjoying a little bit of the scenery there of the Rocky Mountains. This is just out of Rocky Mountain National Park. Some of you have probably been there. Inside the dining hall, pretty typical of all of the eating facilities there along the way. These are a couple buildings that are used for our child care. And during each week, we have people come from different churches, from different settings, to minister to us. And some of the churches send teams of people as a missions project to take care of our kids. And that frees the parents to be fully involved in the conference. And in this facility, they're just little cabins, but they work out okay. Kids can get along in most any setting, and they do enjoy it. There's a couple of our volunteers. Every morning at conference begins with group prayer. We spend time in small groups praying for one another, praying for the mission, praying for the fields and the work and situations there, praying for our country, praying for whatever the Lord lays on our hearts. And it's one of the critical times, those few minutes every morning in prayer. Part of the conference, at least one morning, the ladies meet separate from the men, and they have their special time, both in a small tea setting and then as a regular formal setting, depending on the day or the situation. Have their own speaker come in, speaking on issues that are important to the wives and the women. At the same time, the men are meeting in another place, having things likewise set for either family, ministry, marriage, whatever the topics may be, and that applies to both men and women. This year at Colorado, the theme was discipleship, and in New York, communication, or do I have them backwards? That's correct, communication in New York. I sometimes get myself confused there. Time for breaks, time to be out there during those breaks, just informal fellowship. Afternoons are free, and this is our director and wife, Brian and Carol, who had just finished a strenuous hike in the mountains one afternoon. And again, enjoying a beautiful scene there just to relax, trusting and being blessed by God. Have times in these conferences, probably some of the most critical times, are when we can gather as a family of missionaries and be blessed by God as we worship together. And each of the conferences allows several opportunities for that. We have special music. And this one was kind of an extra special. As you see, the two fellows in the middle are our Navajo missionaries involved with Village Missions. We're just beginning a ministry in that area. And the older gentleman, Albert Johnson, sang for us Amazing Grace in Navajo while the other fellows there played on their respective instruments, and it was just a blessing to every one of us. We have other more traditional special music as well along the way. It was our 60th year, so Brian and Carol got to be up in pictures and posed by the cake at each conference. We had an evening of celebration of our 60th anniversary, followed by refreshments. We also had at this conference Don Kunkel, very special gentleman who will be retiring next year, but since we won't have conference, we celebrated his retirement this year after 50 years of service with the mission. When we came in 36 years ago, he was our district representative on our first field, and we've known and loved Don for many years, and God's used him in a powerful way. So we got to celebrate with him as well in his retirement. And you can see we made quick use of the cake, fellowship time. You know how that goes. You all have been there. We do that inside, outside, wherever we were comfortable visiting together. Our speaker this year, we have different godly men come in each year. But this year, because it was our 60th year, the national board decided that Brian would be our speaker. And he did a wonderful job sharing on the subject of prayer. And our theme was prayer advancing on our knees. We know that we're totally dependent on God and on our Father. And every conference closes with a time around the Lord's table. A very special time as a family of missionaries. And each time we do this, and we know that even here this morning as we celebrate it, there may be someone right in our group that we'll never see again around the Lord's table. We never know what the future holds. And that's a special thought as we separate at these times from our conferences. So please pray with us that God will give clear direction in our finances so that we can know whether we can reestablish these conferences or whether we need to find other alternatives. And we really appreciate your prayers along that line. There are several other areas of ongoing prayer needs in our ministry, and I'll just touch on them very quickly. We have a ministry in Alaska, which is relatively new, about 7 or 8 years, I think, we've been ministering up there. It's a little different world up there, and some of you have traveled in that state. Much more expensive, much more spread out, a lot of different aspects of it. Our first field that we've served about the 7 or 8 years is Galena, Alaska. It's out on the Yukon River, three or four hours flight from Fairbanks. And we've been there and seen God do many things. We now have actually three more fields, and I've got one listed here because it's brand new. We have also the field of Nenana, which is a town just about 60 miles from Fairbanks on the road system. We have Copper Center, which is down southeast kind of Alaska, that's waiting for leadership and has been for 2 years. And then just about a month ago, a town of Akutan, and I believe that's correct. It may be Akutan. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, or Akutan. But it's on an island in the Aleutians. And I looked it up on MapQuest, and it's 1,100 miles from Anchorage. And if you travel by any means other than airplane, the MapQuest says it's 67 hours to Anchorage by ferry and driving. So if you know anybody that wants to be a little distant from life, we do have a need now of a missionary there, and it's a rather unique setting. Most of the places that come to us looking for leadership cannot afford full-time leadership. But in Akutan, there's a cannery, and apparently the leadership of that cannery wants a church in that community, and they're picking up the full cost of having a village missionary come and serve in that town. So pray for God to provide the right person for not only that, but also for Copper Center, who's been waiting a couple of years, and we don't want to neglect them either. But that's our ministry, just nutshell, in Alaska. We also, and I mentioned it, have a beginning just a couple of years ago, ministry to the Navajo Nation. There are some things there, that opportunities that we believe God would have us to move into, and we haven't gotten in deeply yet, but we're taking steps as God opens doors. Albert Johnson, the elderly man there, is an associate missionary. He's come in, he's 83 or 4 years old. But his goal and his prayer in the church that he serves there on the Navajo Nation is to prepare them in whatever years the Lord allows him to continue ministering for a younger, full-time Navajo missionary. And we're also working with other possible places and people along that way. They need Navajos to serve Navajos. And that's just where we are with that. But we're trying to work with them in those aspects. So pray along that line as well. Our medical benefits plan is an ongoing prayer need also in Village Missions. We're self-insured through Village Missions, and the church helps to pick up the expense of that. And it's been a very workable plan along the way, but as you are well aware, medical costs go up 10 to 15% a year. And we have done very, very well in our plan to keep the cost as low as possible, and we're well below many other similar situations. But pray for our medical benefits board. There's a group of people who do everything they can to make sure that we're doing things as efficiently as possible to keep the costs down. And just pray for the health of our missionaries. That's really what it's all about. If nobody got sick, it wouldn't cost anything to keep them well. So just pray for the health of our missionaries along that way. Keep praying, and I've already mentioned this one, for wisdom in new places to serve. As we get requests, we need to know, is this the place God wants us? In some places we have to say no, and other places we obviously say yes, and we want to do only what the Lord has in store for us. And then keep praying for each sister church in the family of Village Missions, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why I mentioned earlier, and I highly recommend that you get that list of churches and each week pray for one of those places. It'll bring you to closer together. And what I've been doing is, you pray for other churches served, the Lord just keeps on answering prayers. And I am firmly convinced that as we pray for another work, even if we don't know those people and never see them this side of glory, I firmly believe we're going to get to heaven, and someone's going to come to us and say, thank you, and we're going to say, who are you, and what are you thanking me for? Well, you prayed for my village missionary on such and such a time, and that's when I came to know the Lord. That's the kind of partnership we have in the gospel. So that would encourage you. Just want to share with you now some places in our district so you can see that you're not alone. These are places just like you, places Village Missions has served, some for a long time, some for a short time. But the first this time I'm talking about is Brown County, Indiana. It's just 45 minutes or so south of Indianapolis. Some of you may have been even to Nashville, Indiana. And it's a tourist center. People come from everywhere to Nashville, even from other countries we've seen license plates there. But out about 10 miles north and west of that little community is Cottonwood, one of our places that we serve. And Cottonwood at one time years ago had a history like every place. It was a little bit of a community there. All that's left now is pretty much the church building. And as you can see, it's been there a long time just from the style and the structure. And I do not know when this one was built. But as you can look back in the picture in the shadow a bit, you can see it's been added to a couple of times. When our missionaries went there, this was all that was on the property. They lived in the Sunday school classes and used the two church restrooms for a couple of 3 years while they built a parsonage. You can see it's a pretty traditional interior. The table comes and goes as they use it for different settings there. But they built the parsonage, first one level, and then as their family grew, they added the second story onto it. And the missionaries, our first-term missionaries, just been on the field 27 years. as God has blessed the ministry there. And it's a rather interesting place. Daryl and Kathy are the ones that have been there that long and raised five boys. The last one will be graduating this year from high school. But when they went there, there were some issues in that church, some difficulties, some hurts, things that were just not easy to cope with. And several times early on in those early years of their ministry, they felt, we need to get out of here. This just isn't working. We need somebody with more experience. All the stuff that goes through a pastor's mind when things just aren't working the way they should. But God laid on their heart each time, no, you need to be here. And finally, he helped them to understand, you need to outlive these problems. And they made up their minds they were going to see it through. And God got them past those issues, and that church has been literally packed out in that area for several years. They need more space, but their land is limited, and they love the feel of the old small church, so they haven't moved forward in that area. But God is good and has blessed in that work. Another is Cedar River, Michigan, not too far from you folks, just south of Escanaba, well, about 40 miles south, or 25 miles probably. It's not much more than that, south there along the lake. The Cedar River Community Chapel, and you might see on the sign, they were established in 1887. Until about 2 years ago, this church had, in its entire existence, had been supplied by some other church. They were a second church to someone, and several someones over all those years that they came in. They've had some different types of teaching and different aspects of it involved. Village Mission served them even for several, about 8 years, I think, as a second church. We had a missionary just north of them in Ford River that served both places. But about 2 years ago, things adjusted a bit, and we were able to place a full-time missionary there in Cedar River. So one of the smallest buildings we have in our district. It's not big by any stretch, but it's twice as big as it originally was. You can see the front door there. That was the middle of the building originally, and the building was across the highway by the lake. And in 1947 was moved over here and doubled in size, and then they added a little room on the back for storage. But very nice setting inside, only seats about 50 people. But in that community, they're beginning now to take the steps of having full-time leadership, moving into other things besides just Sunday morning. You folks can identify with that as you make some changes and adjustments and reach out in several different ways. And the parsonage there, they've had a little issue with the first one, and now they found a second one to rent with the option to buy. Nice, comfortable place there in the setback in the woods. And Chad and Sarah Johnson have been serving there now about 2 years, and God is blessing and meeting needs in that work. Renshaw, Minnesota. I talked about Fond du Lac and showed you the picture of the one that's been with us 50 years. About 11 years ago, the church at Fond du Lac was grown to the point that they were exceeding the capacity of two services every Sunday. And they were debating, do we go to three services? What do we do here? Do we add on to the building? Do we plant another work in another community? And that was the decision that was finally made. They had people that lived in and drove through Renshaw, Minnesota, which is just south of them across a state park. And they thought, let's see what God will do about planting a work in Renshaw. There were a group of those folks who lived over there willing to go over and become a part of that church plant. And during about the same time, you know, there's no coincidence in God's economy. God sent one of those one-year internships. We showed you TJ and Melody on the picture a while ago. Sent Mike and Michelle Keller to Fond du Lac for a one-year internship. And right in the middle of that internship is when they planted the church in Renshaw. Mike and Michelle began to minister over there under the supervision of the pastor at Fond du Lac, and they're still there today after about 11 years serving that community. It's called Sun Life Community Church, and I don't have a sign picture because they don't have a sign. They meet in the local school and have for these 11 years. Have an excellent relationship with the school, renting the facility on the hours they need. And in the beginning, they were able to store their stuff, but now they've had to adjust a little bit and got a covered trailer as all the stuff increases, you know, to move in and make the commons area. And I only have one picture, and it's a real poor one taken several years ago of the interior. But they do a beautiful job of setting it up to be a church sanctuary for that Sunday morning. Plants, the whole thing, the sound system, the stuff they bring in and out. Teams of people take turns Sunday morning setting it up. And afterward, pretty much all of them take it down and put it back in the trailer, haul it back, work that way. They also had a parsonage issue or two. This is actually the third one, but the Lord allowed them to acquire 10 acres of land on the edge of town and put this home on that land. And it's nearing completion of being paid for already, which God is just blessing in a tremendous way there, as the church has grown to the point that they are now a fully supporting work. Their goal is, when this is paid for and as God provides the funds, the front part of that land will have a new church building on it. And that's what they're praying toward. This is Mike and Michelle Keller, that God has moved into that community and are being blessed and blessing the people in that need. And the last one that I'll show you tonight is the extreme eastern edge of our district. There are quite a few more places served out in the east there by another district representative. But Royalton, New York is about 30 miles east of Niagara Falls, if you've been out in that area. Just a residential kind of area. It's rural, but it's building fast as the towns move out. You know how all that is. And the Royalton Church has been there many, many, many years. The actual church was established 187 years ago. This building's about 100 years old and was moved to its present location, I think, about 80 years ago, give or take. I'm not sure the exact timing of all of that. But inside, pretty traditional, older style building there. God has used this place over the years to bring many people into his family. The different ministries that have been there, Village Missions has served this church since 1978 and have seen God work in all kinds of ways. They've had ups and they've had downs. And right now this church is in a bit of a down cycle, so you can pray for them in that area. They're seeking God's direction and help. Parsonage is just about a block down the road. There's one house in between the church and the parsonage. You can see it's a pretty good sized home. And it's a good thing because the missionaries that have been there for 11 years moved in with 9 kids. And the Lord's allowed most of those, the majority of them, 6 of them now, to be out on their own, 5 and a half, one of them's coming and going. But doing a good work. And this is Tim and Debbie Cumberland, who serve in that community. These are places similar to you. This is what Village Missions does. It's working to help people come to know Christ and grow in him. That's what your missionaries are here for, your pastor and his wife. And we just want you to keep on praising God with us for what he's doing, praying for the work of the ministry. And we'll end this morning with a video of the work of the mission.
I was doing coke, doing meth. Drinking quite a bit.
There's a lot of job loss and a lot of foreclosures.
A lot of plants are closing down all over the U.S.
And when I was back in the drug and deal, you know, I was on the verge of suicide continuously.
We're no different than Detroit or Chicago or any other city in the world.
If I was raising a family now, I wouldn't move here.
I was taken away from my parents at the age of 5 and placed into foster care because of my parents' alcoholism and their drug usage.
We have the drugs. We have the abuse. We have the narcotics and the alcohol and the porno. It's just that we don't get the help up here that I think sometimes we need.
The economy is very poor. Jobs are very hard to come by. Unemployment rate is high. Welfare rates are high.
I've sat like wondering what I'm going to do. How am I going to afford this?
The families are breaking up because there's no jobs. They're losing their houses. Their kids are running the streets. And so they don't have nothing to turn to.
It's not simple anymore. You have to be careful. You have to watch your children like a hawk.
I come from a family that was alcoholic, a lot of abuse, a lot of beatings.
I am a recovering alcoholic. I drank for 19 years.
What we are seeing is the big city crime is moving up north because we don't have the resources to deal with it. Our jails are so full and bursting at the seams, all we have are serious felons.
Just today, I looked at a newspaper, and the event happened yesterday that a man shot his wife and killed her.
We have murders up here, we have bank robberies, we have a tremendous amount of drug trade.
You just wonder where it's going to end.
I have been in law enforcement for 30 years, and in probably the last 12 to 15 years, the drugs have intensified probably 100%.
Yeah, it's been said that 40% of the drug users are in the bigger inner cities. Guess where the other 60% are?
We were the typical American family, two kids, a mortgage, going to church on Sundays. But my kids are learning what drugs do to a family. My own husband is in prison because of drugs.
The hopelessness, the sense of worthlessness is indescribable. It's deep and it hurts. You just want out of it.
I thought I was going to lose everything, but I was going to lose my family.
And when you get to that point where if you don't get a drink, you're going to die. And if you take another drink, you're going to die. That's a bad place. That's a really bad place.
As we see the hurts of people, and
something's wrong everywhere, not just in the big city, not just in the urban areas, but in the little America.
It's a great life out here if you can just stay away from the bad stuff.
I see so much potential of people in small towns, and it truly breaks my heart to see that potential just kind of flushed down the toilet with troubles.
You kind of have to block your mind and just block everything out. You can't dwell on it because you'd lose your mind.
The American dream, I don't even see it anymore.
Rural America, if you ask me, they're forgotten.
North America isn't what it used to be. It's in a spiritual and a moral crisis, and the people need our help. Reaching those people and loving those people is what Village Missions is all about. It begins with providing people like those in this video a place where they can go to find real answers, real solutions to the pain and hardships they are enduring. It begins with country churches. We want to be sure that people like these have a place to turn to for the spiritual and emotional support they so desperately need. Time after time, we've seen how country churches can change lives for the better and have a lasting impact on the community. Country people need our support and they need our prayers. I'm asking you to help bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people who otherwise might not hear about him. Thank you for doing everything you can do to ensure that these people are not forgotten.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, John. Jennings, Michigan. It's not much different than right here. And you know, it's not much different than other churches in rural America. At conference, we talked to friends from Renova, and it is Jennings, Michigan. We talked to friends from Bruin, and it is Jennings, Michigan. Drug and alcoholism has taken over. Hopelessness has taken over. And we as Village Missions have the charge to bring the hope of Jesus Christ into every life that we can touch. But it's just not us missionaries. It's you too. It's all of you. You've all been touched by this. You've all seen this type of depression here in this area. So I know the Village Mission sent me to a unique place because they sent me to a church that are true missionaries themselves. I want you to know that, especially what I've seen in you and your hearts for this whole community. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today with mixed feelings of excitement about the missionaries that you have sent out, all through the United States. And with some sadness to know that rural America has been hit and hit hard with all the things that used to plague the big cities. And that now rural America is not immune to the devastation that comes with drug and alcoholism and economic depression and those things that the enemy tries to drag us down. Dear Lord, we pray for Village Missions. We lift them up to you. We lift every missionary up to you and every small town up to you. We ask, Lord, that you will anoint each and every church so that they can bring hope to the community and bring it back to life, to bring vitality to each town, to be a town in which anybody who goes through knows that this town has been with God. We pray for all those prayer requests that Village Missions has. We pray for their financial concerns, their concerns on facilitating 19 or 21 now churches that are just waiting for a missionary to come. Dear Lord, we live in a lost and dying world, and we know that it's only through you that we can be an agent of change. An agent of change to bring light back into eyes as they glare. A people of change that can change sadness into happiness with a relationship with you. So with that, Lord, I ask you, bless this day, bless this picnic. Thank you so much for this church, and help us to have this sense of urgency each and every day to reach out to people, people that we're not familiar with, people we don't know, to reach out to people and to share with them the gospel of Christ, both in action and in deed. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Well, in light of our video message, I just wanted to let you know that the men at the Phoenix House are leaving on a weekly basis. We need to keep them in prayer as they adjust their new lives and ask for God's wisdom in going back to those families and friends. Would you like to stand, please, and sing Come Just As You Are?